those of who are left here. We got 11 people down there manning three booths down in Tampa. So it's going great. I heard from them. Let me turn this thing off and get that out of my way. I heard from them a little while ago. We packed up 7 cases of materials and flyers and cards and everything. And by 12:30 of their time, they ran out. So now they're filling up lists for people who are coming by and signing up. We kept one original of everything across the tables that we've got. We got more than one table. We got 3 tables now. We actually obtained 2, and they gave us one that was down there. So they actually spread out in a couple different spots. So they even found some ex-worldwiders of the Church of God, and they were down there. And so they were really glad to see that people there. So anyway, we were doing the very best and pray that whatever they sow will be take root. And they can tell us more about that next week when they get back here. So we're looking forward to all of that. There was one prayer request. It's important, too, because I didn't get that to Bobby. Roland and Cindy, who is also down there with us from our group, he went and took some tests because he had been sick and losing weight for the last few weeks. Come to find out, he tested positive for a tumor in his esophagus. So it is cancerous. So pray for him. He's going to have a tough battle. He's had cancer before, and he's praying that God will heal him again. So there's a lot there. So please keep praying for him. But we're going to have a lot more about that, about the event down in Florida next week, God willing. And to do so, Audrey went and picked us up over at Sam's to get ready. We're going to have, for anybody who wants to stay afterwards and have a round table just to hear about the excitement, we're going to be supplying barbecue beef on sandwiches. Next, just a little surprise to everybody in a way of thanking them for going down there. So anybody can stay around. We'll have some sandwiches, some snacks, probably some chips, and they can tell us all about it. So I asked them to get together tonight while it's fresh in their minds so that we can determine what was strong and what was weak. So if we get the chance to do this again, we'll do a better job next time because it's the first time we had a chance to get down there. So anyway, Clayton was due up today. So I took his spot since he's down there in Florida. So I'm speaking today, and God willing, I'll have a chance next week on my normal time, and I'll talk again next week, giving another sermon. I want to talk about a message today, a subject that's very, very important. One of the most misunderstood in the Bible. And it's one pretty much every Christian has heard about or knows about, but it's also misunderstood. Are we racing to the mark of the beast? Now think about it. I just did this for an attention getter opening. I'm not trying to say that the COVID, I want to clarify that right up front. I'm not trying to say the vaccine or COVID is the mark of the beast. This is where it all comes from in Revelation chapter 13, 17. And that no man may be able to buy or to sell, save he had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. All right, so that's where the misunderstandings come from. Everything is being applied to. So what I'm going to do today is I'm going to talk about the misunderstandings and some of the problems and where we're at today and where we're going to see if I can put a little more definition on what God wants us to understand going into the end times about the mark of the beast. The biggest stumbling block is overcoming the misconceptions of the past. And there's no end to the misconception. If you type in Mark of the Beast now, you're going to see such strange, weird, perverted stuff come up that you ever saw. So, in fact, my cover was like that, my very first thing, because, you see, everything looks weird. It's demonic looking. I wouldn't be surprised that Satan has done that on purpose so that when he comes across as an angel of light, people will not recognize what it is that we're talking about. So now, for hundreds of years, through most generations, there have been people who have been misapplying the mark of the beast. I'll tell you something else right up front. I'm not here to tell you that I know exactly what it is, though many churches of God say they know exactly what it is. In fact, they're telling us in our Church of God community, it's already here. So is it? So I want to go through and I want to try to explain what it is I'm talking about, and what it is that I think God wants us to understand as we move toward the march toward the mark of the beast and the return of Jesus Christ. The anti-vaccination riots Actually, it was in 1885. This was actually out of a newspaper. I just want to blow up and read a couple sentences out of it. It says, the excitement produced by the smallpox epidemic at the Montreal culminated in September 28th in a serious riot. According to a correspondent, the immediate cause of the disturbance was publishing a law of the Board of Health making vaccination compulsory. In the announcement today, we heard the same thing. So history is repeating itself. When God says nothing's new, well, certainly not this. Certainly not vaccinations and riots. This was all the way back in 1885 out of Canada, of all places. 1800, 85 years before that, the cowpox vaccination, people classified it back then, 222 years ago, that was the mark of the beast. And so every time something different comes out, they put a label on it, that's the mark of the beast. Here's a picture. It says, ox-faced children, elderly women, sprouted horns, cloven minds, and all features attributed to the Edward Jenner's vaccine against smallpox. They're saying that today. I'm getting stuff coming from my emails that all this weird stuff in it. You take this vaccination, you're going to be oozing stuff out of your skin. There's going to be stuff dripping out of your eyes. You know, all these things that they're trying to say is going to happen from a vaccine. I'm not here to promote take it or don't take it. That's not me. That's like they said in an announcement, that's between you, your doctor, and God, whether you take it. The question you have to ask, though, is that something that's going to prevent me from serving God? All right, so that's what I always go back to. How about this one? This is in anti-vax fear-mongering in 1800, extended beyond the shores of Britain and went all the way into France, as you're looking at it here. It said a mermaid creature being pulled by a cow-riding physician, a syringe-wielding apothecary, to the children's heart. So there they are. And this was a cartoon back in 1800 showing that if you take this vaccine, you're going to turn into what this looks like here, this mermaid here. And they're chasing these little kids with a syringe. Sound familiar? Very similar, except for the mermaid. I mean, they're not going to turn into a mermaid. But honestly, people are telling you that you're going to turn into, you're not even going to be a human. Do you realize they're telling us if you take that vaccine, you're no longer going to be a human? That your spirit now changes, your DNA is different, so you're no longer going to be a child of God. In the Church of God community, they're saying these things. And I always heard from Scripture, God says, that which is spirit, and that which is flesh is flesh. And how does that change your soul? So, I mean, ask questions. Biblical questions instead of the hysteria. How about this one? Here's a picture of back in 1806. A woman took the vaccination. She grew horns. You can't make it up. And here we have right here, this is in 1803, depicting the parents who subsequently developed features that looked like cows. The cowpox. All right, I got a couple more because, see, this gets into some more biblical stuff. Now we're talking about grown-ups eating children. Have you heard that in the dark website? Yeah, they're talking about people eating kids now. They talk about eating children, a monster being fed baskets of infants, excreting them with horns, symbolizing the vaccination. That's in 1802. It's likened to, if you look at this, and we can leave this up just a little bit, Jeff, here before we take it down, because you're kind of hard to read the pictures. And if you get this online or in the tape, you can pull it up. But you look through it here. Now it takes a religious overtone. Now it's talking about taking the vaccination is like worshiping the beast and going before God in that one. Here are the prophecies of Dr. Mosley, an early critic of vaccination. This is in 1806, and they're saying the vaccination is like coming and is an idol, what they're saying back there. So when you think about it, these are all things you're hearing today. And a lot of these people are trying to apply this to the mark of the beast. So mark of the beast through the ages, 666 as the reference point, and here's a tape. In fact, you get a phone number. I jokingly, with this, a phone number close to 666, so give me a different number. I don't want that number. Just symbolically, I don't like that, you know. So anyway, people referred to 666 as the United Nations over the years. Or different presidents, they've said that this is the 666, so he's got to be the beast power. Some people have, the Washington Monument is the beast power. That's the 666. This one more current, the European Union. That's the beast in 666. Social Security cards. You've heard that one? I've heard that. That's what they're going to use, Social Security cards. Yeah, they're going to mark you and put in. You ain't going to be able to buy or sell because they got your number on 666 on that Social Security card. The Commercial Association says the modern barcode system, that's the mark of the beast. You're laughing. You've heard these things, right? How about the www on the internet? That's the mark of the beast. If you don't have the www, you're not going to be able to buy or sell. The RFID seals, those are the newest ones today, for tracking the identification of smart cards used for cashless swiping. All of these things over the years, everybody's saying these are marks of the beast. This is 666. The church. How about the church? The church, the Worldwide Church of God, and many of the offshoots today teach that it breaks down to between the obedience to God versus the disobedience to God, the Sabbath versus Sunday being the test commandment. Now, there's some merit here, but is that the mark of the beast? So I asked the question now, so I've been praying about this for a while. So is the sign that we're God's people the same as the mark? So if that was the case, why does God tell them, go through the camp and mark those who cry and sigh? If the sign's already there. So how about this? The Sabbath being the sign that we are God's people. Now that's what the church has taught through the ages, and the bigger churches still teach it today. Just last night, just to make sure I'm correct, I went online, I typed it in, I pulled up some of the TV broadcasts of the bigger Churches of God community. It's not my point to go mention the name, but they're already telling us this here, that comes from Worldwide years ago, that the mark of the beast is already here. That's what they're telling us, according to the Church of God. So is that correct? A sign of God's people. Exodus 31:13 says this, "Speak you also to the children of Israel, saying, truly my Sabbath you shall keep. It is a sign." Is that the mark? Now, I will agree that it is a sign, because that's what God says, not what the Bible says. And the counterfeit, and Satan is the great counterfeiter, his sign of his people or Sunday worship. That's a sign. Who you worship, the day you worship, is important, because God says, the Sabbath day being the seventh day of the week. It says that I, the Lord, does sanctify you. Verse 17, it is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth. On the seventh day, he rested and refreshed. So let me ask this now. If that is the sign, can you still buy and sell today? See? You can still buy and sell. It's still out there. History shows that the Sabbath keepers have received the persecution and martyrdom, especially at the time of the Roman Catholic rule. There was even a period of 1,260 years where Rome attacked the church like the 1,260 days coming. In fact, here is from Philip Schaff, this is out of the Post-Nicene Fathers, and it says, Christians must not Judaize by resting on the Sabbath, but must work on that day, rather honoring the Lord's day. But if any man should be found to be Judaizers, let them be accursed from Christ. All right, so there has been persecution for those who have kept the Sabbath day. And there probably will be again, in all probability. But is that the sign to keep people from buying and selling? When I was a body shop manager and ran a couple of body shops for almost 20 years, one of the most interesting things was in an accident. There's something that they call the causal point. So what is a causal point? When we would write estimates, and I wrote estimates as an insurance appraiser for years and years and years, when you write the estimate, you record all the damage that happens to the car. You cannot write the thing that caused the damage. That's the causal point. So if you blow out a tire and it rips up your front end and you have a wreck, I can fix everything on the car, but I can't pay for the tire. That's the causal point. That's not the accident. So here's what I want to put in your head about the Sabbath day and the mark of the beast. The Sabbath day is your causal point that's going to cause Satan to create the mark of the beast. Does that make sense? The Sabbath day is the reason there's going to be a mark. Why? Because that is the sign between you and God. So now Satan has to create something so that you can't keep the Sabbath day or to have you worship Sunday. Now, if you understand that principle, then you can isolate the problem of the conception that the Sabbath is the mark of the beast. No, it is one of the causes. So let's go through a little further and explain the Sabbath day. Here's the concern. Not all Sabbath keepers keep all of God's commanded assemblies. Leviticus 23 says there's 7 annual holy days that you're to be kept every single year. For example, the Seventh-day Adventist. They keep the Sabbath day, but they do not keep the holy days. Now this came again. I did this. This is a quick sermon put together because Clayton had to be gone. So I went through as quickly as I could last night and I found this on the Seventh-day Adventist. This is right out of their Adventist guide. So I'm not making it up. I didn't type anything. I simply copied and pasted this. And it's very long. And you can go type in Seventh-day Adventist guide. It'll take you to all the things. And it's kind of convoluted trying to understand it all. So I tried to pull out the stuff that was most clear. Ellen G. White's argument can be simplified as participating in Christmas is not wrong. All right, so there. You can keep Sabbath day, and it's not necessarily wrong if you keep Christmas. Now, can God take someone into his kingdom that what he's condemned as Satan's mark, so to speak? Christmas. In other words, there's a right way and a wrong way to keep Christmas, is what they're trying to say here. All right. Seventh-day Adventists treat Easter in a similar fashion in vain. Easter may not be celebrated in the traditional sense of the word, but it's still a time of ministry to evangelize to others. In other words, take Easter, and then you can use that to go celebrate. You can teach the kids about Sunday, and they say you can bring baskets to people, you know, Easter baskets, you can bring them. At this time of year, the Seventh-day Adventists show the world the hope of the resurrection. I also read that they believe in the Friday crucifixion. See, I wouldn't, you know, it's been a lot of years since I went and studied the other religions, so I just want to be sure where I'm at. So there's a growing number of Seventh-day Adventist churches that are starting to hold Easter celebrations such as plays, musicals, and physical narrative scenes. So now, if you do all that, is God going to mark you so you can't take the beast? Or already are you deceived into keeping one part but not the whole truth of God? All right, so let's go on. I wrote this as a commentary to try to make things a little simplified so I can explain this. While it may be as simple as Sabbath versus Sunday, and that's what one of the Church of God presenters said on their TV show that I just saw last night, it is as simple as that. The mark of the beast is Saturday versus Sunday. That's it. That's what they told me. Really? What happens if something comes out this and it causes me to sin that doesn't involve the Sabbath? What if there's something that comes out there that I have to accept that religion of the Pope in the Catholic Church and he lets me keep Saturday? See what I mean? There's a problem with that. The causal point and the action. All right? While it may be as simple as Saturday versus Sunday may be the mark of the beast, we do know the rest of all the assumptions are not the sign of the mark of the beast. What I mean by that, all those things that I read you earlier, there we know for sure that they're not. Understanding the path that God has put us on, I'm always going back now to this, Joshua 3, verse 3 and 4. When you see the ark of God, your the Lord your God, then you shall remove from your place and go after it, that you may know by which way you must go, for you have not passed this way before. So here's what I'm saying. From where we are today to where we go, and we haven't been that way before, and chances are the mark of the beast has not appeared itself yet. It may have to some degree, but it may not. So what I'm saying is that if you follow God's principles and His Spirit, He will guide you. In all probability, the Sabbath will have something to do with it, but it may not be the actual mark of the beast. Because we haven't been that way, so we don't know what exactly is coming. The path God has put us on today is giving us understanding of events that are happening now that will reveal the true identity of the mark of the beast, whether it be the Sabbath or not. So if you can keep that in mind, anything that takes you away from God's truth is Satan's. It has something to do with the beast's power and Satan who deceives the whole world. And last, while it is true that the Sabbath is the sign of God's chosen, there will be a physical trigger that will force them to disobey God, or they will not be able to buy or sell. So the fact that the Sabbath is there and we're God's people doesn't prevent us right now from buying or selling. There has to be an event that has to happen that will cause that. You can't buy or sell on the Sabbath. See what I mean? The causal point and the action. Did that make it simple? All right. So now, let's go on now with that understanding and begin to understand what it is and where we are today. Excuse me one second. I know I'm not on oxygen anymore, but I don't have all the air I need yet. All right. So how does it all start? All right, where we are and where we're going from. We understand what is coming by what we have seen. Satan is the great counterfeiter. Using the physical mask to mask the spiritual, in chess they call it misdirection. All right, so what God does, He gives us something physical to understand the spiritual, what He wants. What Satan does, he gives us a physical to help us to understand the spiritual. Satan gives us the guide of the physical to hide or mask the spiritual. All right, so God gives us the spirit, physical to help us understand the spirit. Satan does just the opposite. He gives us the physical to mask, to misdirect the spiritual. I think I said that in a kind of confusing way when I first said it out there. Yeah, everybody had that puzzled look on their face. That's because I had no idea what I was saying. Right after I said, that makes no sense. I wrote it wrong. What I wanted to say is that Satan just gives us a misdirection so that we can't understand the truth. He'll give you the physical to take you off in a different direction that's wrong. God gives you the physical that takes you the direction that's right. Should have just said it left simple. All right, let's go on. All right, the trigger. What do we have as a trigger? Before the trigger is pulled, all right, events will take place first that will cause the world to accept the mark when the trigger is pulled. In other words, it just can't happen. For example, I gave you a whole bunch of things from 1800, 1806, 1802, 1885, when they try to force people to make them take the mandate of the vaccine, they went crazy. There was a riot. So what has to happen is that the mindset has to be changed. There has to be a breach in the mental capacity of human beings to accept what the mark is going to do for that to work. And we are at that stage right now. This is what I want to bring out. For example, COVID-19 is the perfect example. While it's not the mark of the beast, it gives us the clear example of how the mark of the beast can come about. Government lockdowns, mandates, forced vaccines, unconstitutional acts of lawlessness, which are many, schools, churches, businesses. Before COVID-19, if you tried to do any of these things, nobody would accept it. So you're in the stage where if you understand how war takes effect, there's a physical and a spiritual war. We're in a spiritual war. God says we wrestle against principalities, not against flesh and blood. But we understand the physical warring that helps us understand the spiritual. For example, when a king is about to attack another kingdom, there's a siege that takes first. The siege surrounds the city, the village, the walls, and it begins to lock them down until there's a breach in that wall and they're able to go take on that city. We have been in a siege now since 2015. I'm going to show you what I'm talking about by the chart. All right, this is the standard I use every single time. I never change this. From 2014-15 with the Blood Moon Tetrads, showing us then, that's the eighth tetrad, that we are moving now to begin to usher in the return of Christ. We use this period of time of Satan's removal of 2013 because, believe it or not, the world has said that's the time, because the Pope has done that himself. COVID-19, let's look at this now. COVID-19 has been the weapon that has breached our walls of our Constitution in the minds and the hearts of countless millions of people around the world. Even here in the United States, they're saying, we don't need that Constitution anymore. We need protection. We need the government to step in and protect us. And they're spending tens of trillions of dollars around the world, and it's not working. You know what? It's not going to work. Not this time. If we are indeed in this period of time toward the return of Jesus Christ, the Scripture God says that when He brings a virus, it will cleave to us. Now they're telling us that this is no longer ever going to leave us. And now you have to be vaccinated three now, four times. Israel's already in their fourth time. Now they're talking about more. It's going to be like a one-a-day vitamin. Every day you get up, go take your vaccine. Because God says it's not going to leave us. So now, here we have two periods of time. From 2015 to 2022, where you are today, by the way, this period of time ends this coming September, either at trumpets or atonement, whichever one you believe. You don't have to fight it. It's going to happen then. To the last of 2029. These two seven-year periods we call Shemitah periods. Look what happened in Kings. God gives again the physical example. Look what God allowed to happen, so He tells us what's going to happen. This is the physical. This was Nebuchadnezzar, was the king of Babylon. He came and he besieged the city of Jerusalem, remember? And you can go back and you can read it. I just highlighted a couple pieces because of time. He's besieged the city until the 11th year of King Hezekiah. So it was several years that they actually went in around Jerusalem. They surrounded the walls until they starved the people out. And that's the way it is. And so what we're looking at now, in the same principle, from this period of time, the Pope came to America and he told us what he's going to do. He says, I'm going to go and I'm going to take over the world. We're going to surround everybody. And he began his siege in 2015. Satan targets what he's going to do, and God lets us see it. We didn't understand exactly what it was. We were looking for a physical collapse of a nation. And when it didn't happen, people said, oh, well, we got more time. No, it put into play what God wanted us to see right there. So what is that? This is the period of the siege. That's to accept the mindset of the people around the world to say, hey, listen, we can no longer operate as we did. We need to change everything, and you need to come in and control us. There's a breakdown in the barrier. The mark of the beast is going to work the same way. It's going to continue to work on people's minds until you accept what God says He hates. That's what's going to happen. From 2020 to where you are today is the breach in the wall. But why I say the breach in the wall? Because what happened there is Satan now has entered into the minds of the people of God's nations around the world, and who accept lockdowns, accept mandates, force you to take things you don't want to take. You are in that breach period right now. What's next? What comes after the breach? The assault. When we look at the curses that comes in Leviticus 26, we understand that we will be in that period of assault. That's why this virus will not leave. That's why there's so much unrest in the nation. I had not heard such a racially inciting president speak as I did 2 days ago, to try to create a rebellion across the nation to give them more power and control. I said, what is he doing? This is crazy what we're watching right now. This has been orchestrated for a long, long time. And here's where I say God takes us where we want to go. And I'm going to show you something that we did when I had no idea all this was coming the way it's coming now, look how God has led us. I pray every day, every week, that the message I bring to you is timely, it's clear, it's honest, and it brings forth where God wants us to understand where we are today. In 2018, I talked about America under siege. And we are. We look back now. This is the period of time that we've been under siege. That means this evil spirit is removing God's spirit against and on attacking God's people. Look at last month. I talked about repairing the breach. Because you see, the enemy is in our camp. And God has called you and I to repair the breach. Now, I'm going to do a sermon that I remember Ron Dart gave many years ago. It was called The Prophet Who Ran. The Prophet Who Ran. And it was when God sent a plague through the camp of Israel. This man ran through the camp to beat the plague, to stay the plague. And before he got to the other side of the camp, tens of thousands of people had died like that in 1 hour, one day. We are moving to that period of time now that it's incumbent upon our Church of God community, all our brothers, all our churches, to pull together with one voice. You don't have to be one organization, but with one voice. And we need to run through the camp because time's running out. And that's why we sent those people down to Tampa today. Because you see, time's running out. And we need to reach as many people as we can. For the first time, our church is giving away everything we got. To what degree the people hear it and see it and understand it, I have no idea. But God says, go tell them anyway. They give us another chance, we'll go again. And we'll reach more people. And they're picking up hundreds of names for email lists to be able to bring back and add them to the email list and get news nuggets and insights every week. So now, what's next? God willing, I have time. I want to do this next week. The wearing down of the saints. Because you see, in this period of time, God's people are going to be under assault. And they're going to wear us out. And God says, that time's coming. The time of Jacob's trouble. We're not here yet, but we're going to be there soon. So now, let's go on. See where that's at? That's the time period right now. We're between the breach and the assault. See, we're not being attacked right now as a church. That day will come. But right now, while we can, we need to run through the camp of Israel. All right, now, that's what I said. That's where I wanted to say, mark of the beast, that's where we're at. But let me show you what's going on right now. These are pieces that I pulled together from different sermons and from news and nuggets. And I'll go through that, and I'm in good shape on time. All right. This came as an email response from a church member out of Canada. The New Brunswick Minister of Health wants to issue more regulations. No jab, no groceries. Now, you see, if you had to put a mark on the beast, so to speak, this would be almost in line for that. Because, you see, now it's preventing you from buying and selling. All right, so it's not the mark of the beast, but it's very similar. So what God's allowing us to see, things are lining up that's going to be coming our way. This was this morning. Bobby Gray mentioned that about the Supreme Court in his prayer. Businesses aren't waiting for an answer. This morning, Citigroup, tens of thousands of employees, prepares to fire workers as no jab, no job. No jab, no job. That's a headline that came out this morning. It was on the news today. Citigroup is the first major Wall Street bank to impose strict COVID-19 vaccine mandate. Get a shot or you're fired. How do you like that? That's coming. I know for a fact, and I said this 2 years ago, it's going to reach a state that I cannot go visit a church group and get on a plane if I don't have a vaccination. It's coming. They're not going to change it. Doesn't matter that if you already caught it, that you already have the immunities anyway, and you're better off than you were if you took a vaccination. They won't accept that because you're not under the control of the government. All right, how about this? Australia, we showed this on News and Nuggets a couple weeks ago. Safe house. You get vaccinated, you're not vaccinated, you get COVID, you don't want to listen to them, they'll go put you and lock you away. Didn't think it could happen, but I'm going to show you about a law that's happening right here in America. This was in Germany. Germany locks down the unvaccinated as leaders plan to make shots compulsory. Entire nation. Austria orders nationwide lockdowns for the unvaccinated amid COVID-19. Dutch government extended evening lockdown into the new year. All of these have the foundation and the breaching of the mind of the wall to accept a mark of the beast willingly. What made the Jews march into these death camps? There was a breach in the mind to understand that they're going to be okay if they listen. And they marched in their millions into the death camps. See, Satan breached the mind that it was better to obey the government than fight them. That is where Satan is taking this today. It's going to get to a level where people are going to say it's better to obey the beast power than fight. How about this? The heightened propaganda on the unvaccinated. Unvaccinated should expect a winter of illness and death ahead of a projected COVID surge. Hospitals are filling up again. Now, they can tell you that it's not as strong as it was in the previous variants, and it probably isn't, but you're still getting it, whether you've been vaccinated or not. But they're trying to tell you it's the unvaccinated. Biden warns of a winter of severe illness and death of the unvaccinated due to Omicron. Yeah, this is when I thought that, oh, finally somebody's going to speak the truth. Stop calling it a pandemic of the unvaccinated. But this was the subheadline. Sure, it may be true. I said, wow, what a headline. Sure, it may be true, but that doesn't mean it's productive. It's the unvaccinated causing all these problems. It's going to eventually get to the point, but you see all these churches, especially them Sabbath keepers. There's the problem. That's why we can't get over this. Because Germany said it was the Jews. Remember that? Remember, we're in a spiritual battle. So it's God's Israelite family, the remnant that will be going after. How about this? Hundreds of fully vaccinated in Oregon residents die of COVID-19. Fully vaccinated people. While it's heartening to know that the hospitalization rates may be lower than 4.4% of the total fully vaccinated population, there are still over 2,000 people. This was back in December. This figure has long since been just blown away by how many thousands. 2,000 people have been hospitalized after completing the full vaccination series. 600 had died, fully vaccinated. They used to tell us if you get vaccinated, you'll bet you're not going to get sick. Then you're going to, well, you might get sick, but no, you know, it's going to be less. Now you're in hospitals, they're dying. In some areas of the country who are almost fully vaccinated have some of the worst numbers of COVID. In the most fully vaccinated, in countries around the world showing 92 to 96% fully vaccination, they're showing highest forms of COVID than they've had since the beginning. It isn't working. It may help to some degree. I'm not here to fight it one way or the other. What I'm trying to do is make us aware of what's going on and quit lying to us and get our heads out of the what?
Sand.
Out of the sand. Yes, I was about to say something different. I really regretted that. Out of the sand, yeah. I caught myself right before I said it. It's like, no, I don't want to go there in the sermon. You know? Yeah, I'll just say, get it out of the butt. You know? You put it in God's Word where it needs to be. How about this? The laws are changing. That's going to affect our lives. The immunization infrastructure. When we call it the Trojan horse, HR-550, it spent $400 million to create an infrastructure of communication between the states and the federal government. If anybody wants to look at a link that's going to begin to connect the control, it could lead to a mark of the beast. It's right there. It's right there. They'll know everything about your health. When you go in and they're testing you, they ask you, have you had this? Have you had that? Everything they could possibly find is in that record. And now they can spend $400 million and hire tens of thousands of people to begin transforming information back and forth. $400 million. Then the next week, we brought this out. the laws that are being proposed behind closed doors. This is New York Bill A416. That bill, believe it or not, that's passed. It hasn't completed yet. It's still got three more steps to go. Gives the governor of individual state that if they tell you you must be vaccinated or you can't go somewhere, gives them the right to come remove you from your home and put you where they want you. Couldn't happen in Australia. Well, here's a law. It's on the books in New York City. They can isolate you. They can put you in the hospital. Or they can move you to a place of their choice, an internment camp. Couldn't happen here, not with our Constitution. Forget about it. It's past that. There's a law. If they get away with it, other states will follow suit. That's a real law. That's not a conspiracy theory. That's a fact. And there's the law. You go look it up yourself. And lastly, the dangers leading to the mark of the beast. Thousands of Swedes now are inserting microchips under their skin so that they can be tested. As implants grow more common, experts fear surveillance and exploitation of workers. The advocates say that the concerns are irrational. I got a little short video about this one right now. Let's play that video, Jeff.
Implants are a very versatile technology that can be used for many different things. And right now, it's very convenient to have a COVID passport always accessible on your implant.
What's amazing is how many years has this been in the works to build the infrastructure to be able to put in a mark of the beast or something like it. That's absolutely amazing. So now, this is the newest. This came out even beyond that chip. This is from the government. It's a biosensor that could be the pandemic detection of the future. If it wins FDA approval next year, the two-port sensor could help spot new infections week before the symptoms began to show. In theory, it makes a lot of sense to be able to have this. For example, if you knew that when you got subjected to a COVID virus in your system or you had the flu or something happened and it triggered something in the sensor, you know right up front you began to take treatment. The problem with COVID is that by the time you realize you got it, you're sick. And by that time, in many cases, it was too late, especially if people had other symptoms of problems in their body. But in this thing here, this is basically the way it works. It's a specially engineered gel. It's a gel molecule that sends a fluorescent light outside the body. It detects COVID symptoms before you know you even have it. When the body begins to fight an infection, it sends a signal to a second electronic component that's attached to the skin on the outside. It sends the light through the skin, detects the fluorescent signal, and generates another signal that the wearer can send to a doctor or a website. You would say, well, what could be wrong with that? Well, there's a lot of things wrong with that because, you see, it's beginning to have invasiveness into your system, and there's things out there they're doing to put into your mind going on with that. Here's God's word. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to bring in three short videos. They're only 2 minutes, 1 minute, and I think 3 minutes long in a second. I'm going to bring them one by one at a time. I'm going to relate those two scriptures. I did this in News Nuggets and Insights this past week and came out yesterday. Very similar to what I'm going to bring you today. The blessing and cursing chapters of Leviticus 26, God says, "And if you will not yet hearken all of this unto me, I will punish you seven times more for your sins." Now, we know in God's church, and we've covered that here for years, is that there's an increase of the depth of the punishment, and the time of the punishment grows. God punishes with seven times more plagues, as verses 18 through 22. That is the degree of punishment. And then it goes in verses 23 through 26, seven times more of the time element. So what God gives us is a degree of punishment and a time of punishment. And so when I gave you that chart, I'm showing you how each step of the way, the problems that continue to grow, the public is being deceived, telling you it's our planet is being destroyed. What's it called?
Climate control.
See, we all know that, right? Yeah, we all know it's climate control. But what they don't know is the curses of God. So while God gives us the physical to make clear the spiritual, Satan gives you the physical to hide the truth. And that's what he's done here. All of these things Satan knew was coming, because God says if you continue to sin, it's going to get worse. Well, Satan knew that. There was no way for him to stop it. So what did he do? He matched it. He created a different name for it to accept what is coming. And who's he going to blame? God's people. The chess, the misdirection. He's a master of it. What he knows he can't stop, he changes, redirects, and blames God's people. So now, the Lord says he's going to make the pestilence cleave unto you. Well, we're there. We're also seeing an increase in the speed of the diseases like Omicron. They said they'd never seen anything move as fast as this in modern times. So when you consider COVID, you see that the variants are moving across the globe with lightning speed. Look at Revelation chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. "And when he opened the fourth seal, I heard a voice of the fourth beast say, Come, and I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed him. And power was given him over the fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beast of the earth." So what we're looking at now, we're seeing the merge of speed and intensity of sickness. All right, and they can say, well, Omicron not as bad, but let's take a look at one more thing, and then I'm going to come back to the speed and the depth of it. This is in World Watch, we brought a couple weeks ago. Israel, this happened in Israel, a bird flu. We've heard of the bird flu before, right? Said it could be the pandemic of 2022. This is a headline that just came out. The new bird flu strain could become the global pandemic in 2022, the experts say. This is an article out of Germany. Despite COVID's pandemic still affecting the world, almost 2 years later, the experts are now preparing for another pandemic to hit in 2022. The bird flu is back and deadlier than ever. This comes out of Israel. Israel tries to contain the avian flu outbreak after 5,000 wild cranes suddenly started dying. More than 5,000 died at the natural reserve, and the environment minister Tamar Zandberg called the worst blow into wildlife in Israel's history. But here's the danger of it all. Yov Moltro, a specialist in vertebrates and locusts at Israel's Ministry of Agriculture, said H5N1 is like the opposite of COVID. Compared to COVID, the chances of human catching this are very, very slight. But here's the problem. But unlike COVID, the risk of dying from it if you catch it are very high. So you may not get it, but if you do, it says the bird flu's deadliness, the World Health Organization has confirmed that more than half of the 863 cases it has tracked among people has resulted in death. The people who get this, half of them are dying, or more than half. Now try to imagine God's warnings, speed and deadliness. Suppose the next virus comes out with the speed of an Omicron and begins to grow with the death rate of the bird flu. Can't happen? Go back and read the fourth seal. One quarter of this planet is going to be affected. And it's going to happen fast. They won't know what hit them. And if you think things are tough now, by that time, you're going to find a mark of the beast coming around trying to control everything. Unless you do it, you're going to be locked up. Unless you accept this, you're not going to be able to be free. You're not going to be able to buy or to sell. We are marching to that period of time. And I'm trying to make this as real as possible. Because you see, we couldn't understand this virus is going to cleave to us, but we can now. Because you're in the middle of it. We can't get rid of it. Look what they told us here. This was back in December 16, when Omicron began to grow, how fast it was growing. They said Omicron moves fast. Here's what that means in the next few weeks. As the virus moves quickly around the globe, Omicron variant could spell disaster, just as people begin to travel for the holiday and New Year celebrations. Now, here's some headlines. Omicron staff shortages. This was just 2 weeks before they said what was going to happen. It happened. Omicron staff shortages. Planes are packed. Welcome to the holiday travel season from hell. Did you watch the news and all the people stuck in airports for 3-4 days because they couldn't get planes? Holiday travel mess continues with thousands canceling flights. Act of God, natural disaster predicted to hit the holiday. Global flight cancellations rise to more than 6,000 on the disastrous Christmas holiday. This was just one day. This was on a Monday after New Year's. They called it Flightmare. Flightmare continues as 2,133 flights are canceled. Another 2,000 are delayed. And you know what? It hasn't gotten much better. It hasn't gotten much better at all. We brought this out almost 2.5 years ago. Brain implants. The question we had is, like, where do we go from here? I want to show you things that they're working on that's coming. Brain implants. All right, this came out 3 years ago. This was a quote. It says, we're developing and evolving our technology so quickly, and they are, so quickly. This is from Neuralink. It's the first chip to be implanted into the brain. So you ready? Let's play that video.
Is the first chip implanted into the human brain that directly links the human brain with the hard drive of a physical computer without a wire, without a cable. We have the biology that allows us to do already, we have this, what those chips are allowing us to do. When we learn to access these mirror neurons in a very specific way, we have super learning. I do this personally. I mean, we can learn very, very quickly. We are at this pivotal crossroad where we are developing and evolving our technology so quickly, we have to make a choice as a society. How much of our power will we give away to the machines? How much of it sounds like a science fiction movie? Where do those movies come from? This is consciousness in those movies asking us to explore how much of ourselves do we want to give away. And here's a perfect example, Elon Musk. Elon Musk has developed a new company called Neuralink. And his philosophy is, not, and I'm not slighting him for this, because this is the way society learns, this is the way science learns, by pushing the boundaries. And Elon Musk is a brilliant man. He's pushing those boundaries. And I think he'll push them until he has pushed back from society. Neuralink is the first chip implanted into the human brain that directly links the human brain with the hard drive of a physical computer without a wire, without a cable. So it's like Bluetooth technology. It's beyond Bluetooth, but it's, you can think of it that way. So what he's saying is, if you can't beat the machines, join them. He said, let's interface. Let's become one with these machines. Right. So
what do you think about that?
So they have the chips that can be implanted into the brain. And I mean, think about what's happening. These are silicon chips that have contact points that are interfacing with human neurons. And I think that's where we run the risk. And we have to be conscious. We have to be conscious and cautious as we do this. I'm tripping on a little bit because I wanted to go back. I'm not slighting Elon Musk. He is of a different generation than we are. He's an entrepreneur. He's done amazing things. He sees potential, and he says, let's explore this potential. And so he probably is accelerating the evolution, wherever that evolution is going to go, we have to make a choice now where we didn't have to make it 5 years ago. Now we have to choose, are we going to follow this path? Now, I have to tell you, Brian, audiences all over the world, when I share this story, and I've got a presentation that goes with it, and I, before I even share my opinion, I can see people in the audience, and when they see the picture of the chip, I say, here's the chip, here's what it does, and people are out there, they're shaking their heads. And then when I say, in my opinion, this is a dangerous thing to do, it's a slippery slope, I think we may not want to go here, people stand up and they applaud.
Yeah.
Definitely a dangerous slippery slope. You know, there's technology today for people who cannot move, cannot talk, where their eyes is the only thing that moves. They can look at letters in front of them and focus on the letter. The brain will pick up the letter they focused on. So he's typing in his own brain, and it's picked up by a computer, and a machine speaks out what he just typed. That technology exists today, and I've seen it. God says you gird the loins of your mind. But see, here they want you to take your mind and turn it over to Satan. Somewhere in the mark of the beast, that's the breach, getting you to accept Satan's way versus God's. The second video, all right? To him whom you give thoughts will control you. Let's play that second video.
My personal feeling is it's a mistake. My personal feeling. I believe it's a dangerous path, and I also believe it's an unnecessary path because we have the biology that allows us to do already. We have this, what those chips are allowing us to do if we awaken that biology. The Matrix is the perfect example of this. In the movie The Matrix, the people who were awakening into the new reality, when they needed to learn something quickly, they had a port at the base of their skull, and they would physically plug a cable into a computer, a hard drive, and they could download and learn programs very quickly. We have the ability to do right now through what are called mirror neurons. Interestingly, mirror neurons are a specialized class of neurons in the human brain that don't know the difference between watching an experience and having the experience. So when we already know this, for yeah. example, this is why you can lie on your couch on a Sunday afternoon watching a soccer game or a golf tournament or whatever. You're lying down, but you're watching this and your heart's racing, your muscles are tense, you might be perspiring, you might be, you know, breathing heavy, and but you're just lying there. I mean, if you think about that, it makes no yeah. sense. Your mirror neurons think you're the one on the field.
Right, playing. Which is why we watch.
It is. It's and these are very powerful neurons, and they're also powerful in addiction. This is why pornography, for example, is so powerful. It's so addicting because when someone witnesses those images with the mirror neurons, it triggers the same the oxytocin and the same dopamine, the same very addictive chemistry because the brain doesn't know the difference between watching and having the experience. So these are the bad things that we hear.
Well, we understand that from Scripture, that capability existed. Remember the Apostle Paul, say he's taken to the third heavens. He said, whether I actually traveled there or I just had it in my vision, he says, I couldn't tell. It was so real to him. But, you know, this is Scripture that God has always said, that we bring every thought into captivity. So wherein you walked in the past according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, and the spirit now works in the children of disobedience. Now Satan continues to put those thoughts in people's minds. So that's why you have to put every thought into captivity. And even Jesus said, if a person looked upon another with lust in his heart, he's already committed adultery. You don't have to do it. In your mind, you just did. And that's where the spirit lies that God warns us about. Your mirror neurons tell you that what you're seeing and hearing, they do not distinguish between what's watching or actually being there. They are powerful and addictive. And that is the danger of so many people watching these war games that they play on these things. And they wear these things now around their eyes where they look like they're in 3D and they're actually there. Because eventually the mind can't distinguish between them actually doing it and just watching it. See, there is a danger to all of that. All right, well, I just talked about that in Matthew 25, 27, and 28. All right, so now, if you call your brother Raka, you're in danger of the hellfire. In other words, you don't have to kill your brother, but in your mind, you just did. So it's talking about the spirit and taking every thought in control. So are we looking at the mark of the beast? Revelation 13, 16, and 17, he causes both small and great, poor and free, to receive their mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. Again, it is a spiritual thing. The hand is the actual physical thing you do things with. And the mind is the thought process that comes from the heart, the spirit, and the soul of a human being. That's why God says in your right hand or your forehead. Because the right hand, God says, come, he sit on my right hand. Showing the difference between that and the left and the problem that's there. So they can't buy or sell. So unless there's something in your mind that you have willingly just discarded God to accept Satan in his way, is going to be something that will guide the mark of the beast. So I missed the third one somewhere. All right, so let's just go ahead and play the third one, Jeff, and I'll just talk about it because of time.
The good things that we don't often hear is because the brain doesn't know the difference. When we learn to access these mirror neurons in a very specific way, we have super learning, Brian. We can learn. So I do this personally. I mean, we can learn very, very quickly. We can learn music. You can learn to perform the way another musician is performing. You can learn a foreign language very quickly. You can retain, not only retain, but recall information. Very super learning, super memory, super retention, super recall from the mirror neurons. And here's the kicker. Those mirror neurons in the human brain are in the sixth layer of the neocortex that is made possible through a mysterious DNA fusion that happened 200,000 years ago. When we showed up, who or whatever is responsible for our existence, whatever's the source of the intervention that appears to have happened, made those neurons possible. And it gives us the ability, if we choose to access this potential, to learn and experience very, very quickly. We don't need to be physically connected to a computer. But this is an example of where, if we don't know that, and we go down this road, I mean, it won't stop there.
And it won't stop there. But see, that's the physical, because see, we're connected to God the same way. That in the spirit of the man's soul and his mind, you're connecting to God. You're not really there, but you are there in spirit. And in your mind, that if God shares you something, as if you was. And that's the same way, and that's what Satan's trying to do. The biblical implants, are they the mark of the beast? No. But they could be used to create a mark of the beast. They certainly can. So now, I'm about to wrap it up. I'm right almost at 60 minutes right now, but I've got probably about 5 more minutes worth of stuff, so I'd like to go ahead and finish this to bring it to the scriptural point, because I think it's important enough to do that. So what are we looking at with the mark of the beast? Revelation 13, it shows that the image of the beast, or the beast's power, said he had power to give life to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive the mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. And again, this is in a spiritual sense. If it's not a physical mark, it's going to be something that's going to take you from obeying God in your mind, your heart, and your soul to actually physically doing what God says to do. That they're going to take all that away from you, that you're going to have to go do what Satan says you must do. That no man may buy or sell, he that had the mark of the name of the beast or the number of his name. So, rewriting God's laws. That's what we're beginning to look at with the mark of the beast. Deuteronomy 6. And these words which I command you this day shall be in your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk of them when you sit in the house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them for a sign upon thy hand and upon the frontlets of your eyes. All right, so you have to take all of these things. You're going to bind them, put them in your heart and in your mind. And the thing is, God says in his new covenant, he is writing them in your mind and in your heart today. We have to show through the hands what we do. That's our actions. God says you know them by their fruits. I don't mean you got to actually go back there and physically create the way to do it, but you do by the action of the Spirit that guides you, you produce the fruit that shows that you are God's people. Satan does just the opposite as the great counterfeiter. He will cause all both great and small, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive the mark in their right hand and in their foreheads. So as God's putting His Spirit in us and His mark on us as a sign, Satan's doing the same thing. See, Satan's doing the exact same thing. He's creating the counterfeit. My last slide. God's protection. Ezekiel 9 says this, and the Lord said, go through in the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads. Now, so God's going to physically go do something for people who are doing what? Crying and sighing for the abominations. Those people are keeping the Sabbath day, but yet God's going to do something. He's going to set a mark. In other words, He's going to identify those people who are actually His. All right? The men who cry and sigh for all the abominations. Look at Revelation 7, verse 3. Saying, hurt not the sea and the earth, nor the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of God in their foreheads. Again, He's going to go out there and He's going to do something. Put a mark on those people in their foreheads. It's kind of symbolic. Where have we seen that in the Old Testament? How about if I said it this way? Where did we see God pass over? When He saw the mark. What was the mark? The blood of Jesus Christ. So when God sees those, but you won't have it on tape. There it is. Oh, we're back. Must be a demon. All right, so here's what I want to say. Kind of right at the most important period here at the sermon. Is that if you have the Spirit of God, and you are obedient, the hand says, you're keeping the Sabbath, His holy days, you're obedient to God's Word, you have the Spirit of God, you have the blood of Jesus Christ, who has marked you and sealed you and separated you from the rest of the world. That's what we're looking at. And finally, in Luke 21, watch therefore, pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and stand before the Son of God. See, I don't have to worry about what an actual mark's going to be down the road, because you see, God's going to show us. And God is going to tell us what it is and what we should be looking at, and how He's going to protect us, because we will have the Spirit of God guiding and directing every step.